Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, Brittany Ferland comes in here and weaves a very incredible and inspirational story, and we do a little one-on-one with her, and then we got the news coming up as well. So that's all on deck. First, Simply Safe, two eyes in there, Simply Safe. Your local police probably get 100 calls a night from burglar alarms. The majority of the time, they don't know if it's real or it's a false alarm. Simply Safe is different. If there's a break-in, Simply Safe uses video evidence to give police an eyewitness account. They can tell police where the intruder is and if they're armed and everything else, all the official particulars, and that means they dispatch up to 350% faster. Comprehensive protection, outdoor cameras and doorbells, plus entry and motion and glass break sensors, all monitored 24/7 by live security professionals. Set it up yourself. No tools needed, or they can do it for you. Only 50 cents a day. No more excuses. No long-term contracts. Let's get it done. Right, Dawson?
Go to simplysafe.com/Adam today and get a free Simply Safe security camera. Normally $100 go today, and it's free. It will help you capture crucial evidence for the police and get 350% faster dispatch. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam.
Adam Carolla is unprepared all winter long.
Well, Kimmel dead, Adam again on stage in free ball. Totally unprepared with no material at all. He's gonna go,
he doesn't know
what the hell he's gonna say until you tell him so.
He's gonna go,
he doesn't know
until you give him an idea.
Living out a ball. Get your tickets for the show. What word awaits? He's gonna go.
Don't miss Adam Carolla is Unprepared. Aces in Cleveland, Ohio at Hilarities on February 27th and Indianapolis at Helium on February 28th and 29th. And at Helium in St. Louis on April 10th and 11th. Get prepared for Adam Carolla is Unprepared by getting your tickets now at adamcarolla.com.
Brittany Ferland Lee is here. I saw her last at the Gore Hills Canyon Club. She's got a movie to plug, got a podcast to plug. We'll talk about that.
Oh my gosh, there's that this photo. I'm dead.
Backstage. And I just watched the doc, American Meme, which is very interesting, that sort of chronicled a few people. Brittany was one of them.
Yeah.
It was very insightful and interesting. 94% on Rotten Tomatoes, by the way. It's up on Netflix if people want to take a glimpse in that world. Spy Intervention is the name of the movie, and it's available on digital, on demand, select theaters starting tomorrow. And the podcast, Worst First, with Brittany Ferland as well, and we'll talk about all that. But let's first talk about you and how you got into this world.
Oh my God.
I mean, in the doc, they showed you had a tough childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I don't know how much of it was tough and how much of it is self-imposed. I don't mean to sound like a douche, but I mean, your family was a little fucked up, but reasonably sort of something. Mm-hmm. I know your mom was bad.
It was pretty fucked up.
What was
it
your
was
mom?
It was definitely like...
Your dad seemed okay.
My dad raised me.
Right.
So my mom... And my parents got divorced when I was really young. And my mom just is kind of, I mean, I have to be careful what I say because I don't want to
it's in the doc.
Get sued by my mom. But yeah, it's, you know, it was a complicated childhood. It was a lot of violence, a lot of fighting, a lot of just really ridiculous stuff that shouldn't, like a young child shouldn't have to go through. And I think it kind of just set me up for a lot of what I ended up dealing with later in my life, like a lot of anxiety and a lot of like depression. And I mean, it's just been like a crazy ride. But I am so grateful that I was put into therapy and stuff like right away. So I was able to kind of get at it right away before, you know, it got really bad. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so just for people to know, for a period of time, you're the most followed female on Vine.
Mm-hmm.
Until they shut down. You
yeah.
had how many, I don't know, 7, 8 million?
I had 10 million followers on Vine. Yeah. So I kind of had this crazy childhood. I mean, a lot of people have, obviously. Just some really traumatic, really bad stuff. I won't go into detail. But yeah, so then my dad raised me. It was just my dad and my brother. And my dad was kind of this, you know, funny, goofy guy. And my brother was really funny. And so I kind of grew up laughing and trying to, like, you know, use comedy to kind of live my life and cope with everything in my life and what was absent in my life. And so I was like class clown. I did theater, all this stuff. And then I was like, oh, I want to go to LA when I graduate, and I want to do comedy, and I want to do movies and TV, and that's what I want to do. And so when I was 17, I packed up all my stuff and I went to LA, and I struggled for a really long time because I had no money. I was broke. You know, people were like, join Groundlings or do UCB or whatever. And I was meeting all these people that were doing that stuff, but I couldn't even afford it. I couldn't even afford like $400 a month for classes. I was just like, all right, well, I'll just hang out with you guys and maybe learn some stuff.
Yeah.
And then I was doing open mics, like, you know, Comedy Store, improv and all that stuff. And when I was starting, it's so funny because the people that I was with when I was starting are all like huge successful people now. It was like Chris D'Elia was starting, and you know, Gerard Carmichael, and like Esther Pavitsky
at the comedy store. Right,
and like,
right,
we're all doing open mics and stuff like that. And then I started dating a stand-up, and then the stand-up that I started dating was like, well, I don't want us both to do stand-up. It's too competitive.
Really?
Yeah. And so I was like,
my feeling is like, well, then be better at stand-up.
Right. But I was so insecure and just wanted to be loved, which is like all the childhood shit. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'll stop doing stand-up and you can do it and I will go to improv. And so I started like hanging out with improv people, making videos, whatever. And then, you know, a couple years later, Vine came out and took off.
Can you ever – the fucked up mom.
Yeah.
I got a fucked up mom, too. Mm-hmm. Yours is a little more proactive. Mine's a little more docile. But either way, the fucked up mom, that leaves a mark.
It really does.
Fucked up dad is bad, but yeah, fucked up mom leaves a mark, right?
Well, because you don't have that nurturing. You never got that. Well, I never got that nurturing, like, you'll be okay, I love you no matter what, I check in with you, I hug you, I kiss you, like, kind of thing. It was always like, you know, okay, for instance, I'm probably going to get so much hate for drama from this, but like, so this is an example. So I remember being like 5 years old and getting a bath.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was giving me a bath and she was like, do you think I should leave your father?
Right.
And I was five and I was like, I don't know, like, I'm five, dude, and you're giving, right, me a bath. And then she was like, his giant horse cock just doesn't fit inside of me. And
really?
And blah, blah, blah. And like, just, that's like an example of just like the kind of bullshit that I, that's like a, and that's like the light,
but
lighter
it,
version.
It sounds like.
And I'm like five and I'm like, ew, horse cock, what even, ew. Like.
But, okay, I've always said when a guy abandons the family, the father, the, yeah, husband, or is sort of checked out or maybe even verbally abusive or something,
yeah,
it doesn't mean he's nuts. It just means he's kind of a bad dad or selfish or self-centered or whatever.
Right.
When the mom is that way, she's nuts.
Yeah.
There's issues.
Yeah.
Like, there's an issue.
Yeah.
There's a million and one examples of, where's your dad? He moved to Florida when I was 11. I never saw him again. He's a bad guy, but he's not nuts. Mama who left, like, when you talk to people like Tucker Carlson, his mom, mm-hmm, just abandoned the family.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that woman is nuts.
Mm-hmm.
There's something deeply wrong.
Well, I think some women just don't have that maternal instinct. And, well, it's like, that's what kind of makes them, like, they don't care. It's like all about them.
But usually, usually they experience some form of abuse.
Yeah.
Or something.
And, why, like, I kind of don't get into it, because she had a traumatic childhood. So whenever I talk about, like, what happened with me, I'm like, well, she went through it. Her, you know, her father cheated on my grandmother all,
sure,
the time.
Trauma.
You know, and, like, she was left at home with my grandfather at night, and my grandmother worked nights at the hospital, and my grandfather would leave my mom at, like, 3 in the house by herself to go cheat on my grandma. You know, just, like, crazy shit.
Chaos.
Chaos,
how?
Yeah.
And so many people replicate that.
Yeah.
They just go into another relationship and they just do it again.
Right.
And then it becomes generational.
And then they blame, like, oh, well, I didn't have a good childhood, so, you know, that's the reason why. And, like, my childhood was fucked up. And that's kind of, like, what I get when I talk about it. And she doesn't like me talking about it, but I'm like, I'm just – it's true. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
But
it's
how, like, do you not replicate that chaos?
How do I not?
Yeah.
Well, I did a lot of self-work that my mother didn't do and doesn't do. Like, I don't know now if she's in therapy. She said she's in therapy and working on herself and, like, who knows, on medication or not, hopefully. My dad got me into therapy literally as soon as my parents got divorced, which was when I was, like, five, six years old. And what happened was is I started developing OCD. So I don't know what from the stress I think I was going through was like, I don't know if you know about this, but basically, like, if I had to go downstairs, I would have to turn my lights, like, on and off 8 times, and then I could go downstairs. And if I didn't, then, like, my whole family would die. And, you know, if I didn't unplug the blow dryer 8 times, then the blow dryer was going to catch on fire and the whole house was going to burn down. And so I started doing these rituals, right?
Do you... I have a little bit of this.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I find myself counting things a
lot.
Yeah,
counting is part of it, too. Yeah. Like, if you're in a room, you just start counting all the tiles, like how many tiles are here and that kind of thing, or how many dots. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Little – I'm not – it's not bad for me, but little rituals that usually try to get me to do more than I was doing or something like that. But I don't know if it's a trauma of a bad mom that brings a little of that out.
I mean, I just think it's any trauma. I think when you're a child and you're being exposed to things that children should not be exposed to, it's going to create issues. I mean, I didn't all of a sudden, like, you know, I'm literally a little kid. I don't know about OCD. And all of a sudden in my body, I have this feeling that if I don't, you know, if I bump into somebody and don't bump them 8 more times, then part of their germs are going to go into me and I'm going to become them.
So you come out,
right.
You start... You become this Vine superstar, and well, it's true, yeah. and you can get paid a lot of money.
I was making so much money, yeah.
Well, how much money can you make doing something like that?
I worked with so many huge brands. I worked with, like, Wendy's. I worked with Domino's. I worked with Procter & Gamble and did a bunch of their brands, Benefit Cosmetics. When I was at, like, 10 million followers, I was making like $100,000 for a sponsored video. And that's a 6-second video.
And how many of those would you do per week or month or
whatever?
Well,
I would usually get one branded video a month. Mm-hmm. And that was like one really good year when I would like do, and sometimes two, but it was usually one.
But then obviously this pressure to churn out material.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I have thoughts about it as well. You know, it's like Johnny Carson would go to the Tonight Show. He'd roll up there at 5:30. You know, he'd start taping at 7, and he'd do the show, smoke a cigarette, drive back to Malibu, you know, or go across the street to Chadney's or whatever it was, and have a steak, and then go home. There isn't this sense of like, what are you creating when you get home? Or what about the drive home? Or what about the walk to Chadney's? Or then what about a quick shot after the show, some backstage, you know, whatever. So this 24/7.
It's endless.
The lights are always on. The door's never locked. It's a 7-Eleven. It's not closed Sundays. There's no holidays. It's just as much material as you can churn out, you churn. And when you're not doing it, you're thinking, I'm falling behind.
Yeah,
someone's going ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you get sucked into this weird treadmill.
Yeah, like a hamster.
Right.
Like a shitty hamster wheel.
And the way show business used to work is, you know, shows would just be on sabbatical. Like, we do 11 episodes, and then we're dark.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no dark time anymore.
No, there's no dark time. So on the internet, there's not.
You have to impose darkness on yourself, essentially.
Yeah, I have to, like, take breaks. I mean, my husband's, like, would love me to take more breaks from my phone. You know, obviously, I make all my money off of my social media, so it's my job.
Yeah.
And so I'm constantly in the rat race, per se, with all these other people that are constantly putting out videos every single day. It's a new video. Every single day, it's a new meme, or it's a new this, or it's a new that. And so I'm, you know, I have to keep up with that, or, you know, I do fall behind, you know? I mean, I'll just... just on Vine, like I had 9.8, 9.9 million, 10 million followers, we'll call it. And when I left Vine, I went to Instagram, but I didn't tell everyone, oh, come follow me on Instagram, right? But all the other Viners did, and they had – some people on Vine that had less of a following than me now have like 20 million followers on Instagram because they went and were like, hey, come follow me on this. Like I – you know, and promoted the shit out of it. And I just didn't think that way. I was kind of like, oh, it's over, and like that was fun, and I'm just going to keep doing Instagram. People that wanted to find me on there could find me. You know, and it just it's just nonstop, though. It really is.
Look, you're going to have to govern yourself.
I do. Yeah, I do now. Yeah.
And Tommy Lee, who is he's always struck me as one of the most sincere guys ever.
He's really sweet.
And sweet and almost childlike.
He's a child.
He's a child, right?
He's a child.
Like, I know him a bit. I don't know him. He's licking my face. I'm not one of these guys who goes, I'm friends with Tommy Lee, because I'm not friends with him, but I know him.
He loves you.
And he has got such a childlike sort of spirit to him. Like, it's super sweet. It's super authentic.
Yeah.
And it exudes when you get around him.
Like, yes.
You get that feeling.
It's beautiful. That's like part of what made me fall in love with him.
What is that? Like, who? I don't know anybody is that way. Like, I know good dudes. I know generous people. But I don't know that weird sort of, it's like a child.
He
it
is
feels
a
like
child.
A child.
He's like the, he's the most like euphoric, giddy. He is a, like his personality, I would say, is like he's a 17, forever 17 year old boy.
Yeah. He's and just, he ain't goth. He's like 17, you know, school's out for summer.
Right.
Kind of 17.
And like fun and has all this energy. I mean, he wakes up at 8 a.m. every day, even on weekends. Mm-hmm. He goes running. He does boxing. He, you know, he cooks himself breakfast and he's all happy and cheery and has, and then he could stay up till like 2 a.m. Like he has this like exponential amount of energy. It's kind of weird.
I do believe it's something everyone can work on, but what he has is a wiring.
And he doesn't take anything. He's not on an antidepressant. He doesn't do any drugs. Like, he doesn't even drink anymore. He's just him.
Yes.
It's kind of amazing. I mean, especially me, because I take an antidepressant, and I'm like, God, I would kill to fucking want to wake up at 8 a.m. and, like, go for a run.
Right.
You know, just to have that feeling to be like, oh, I need to run. It'd be great, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I'm envious, and I those same people I know. I call
I don't get
it's,
them.
It's the people who want to go to the Y and swim 100 laps at 6 a.m. Like, what the fuck?
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I'm going to go out on a limb and say we have a sense of humor, and thus we're night owls, and
right.
We think in a different way.
It's better just to be awake at night, I think. No.
Well, they've studied sleep patterns and personalities and types. I've talked to doctors about this.
Uh-huh.
And there are people that are genetically wired to get up in the morning, and there are people that are genetically wired to stay up at night. And there's a few different encoded kind of wiring.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's a coincidence that comedy clubs aren't open at noon. You know what I mean? Like, this shit all takes place
True.
At night into
yes.
the wee hours. You
True.
Know, people are up on stage at 1:30 in the morning. Like, I was at the Comedy Store a night ago or whatever, and it's like I was looking down the list, like, so-and-so, 1:30, you know? Like,
yeah.
And there's people in the audience. So the fact that it has, it's called a nightclub.
Yeah,
not,
yeah,
not
exactly.
A morning
not a
club.
Day club. Yeah, yeah.
Right. It's there for a reason. It
right.
attracts those people.
Right.
And
makes sense.
Maybe we're those people.
I think so. I think I've always been that way since high school. Like, I will stay up. I become alive at like 9 p.m. Like, that's when I finally wake up. And then I'm like, I'll stay up until like 3 or 4. Just
right.
Being
but
awake.
You have to, I think the key is, you can be whatever kind of person you want to be.
Mm.
Unfortunately, life is going to impose a schedule.
Yeah, I hate that.
And if it's like there's one flight and it's the only flight that goes to Milwaukee and it leaves LAX at 7 a.m., well, then guess what, night person? Get
up. The fuck up.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's the worst. I mean, it's so funny because we're talking about this movie, Spy Intervention, that I'm doing, and it's such a fun movie. It's an indie movie. And we shot it in New York State, and I remember, like, I love doing films. I love acting. That's like what I came out here to do, right? So I love it. But then it's so funny because, you know, when you're doing films and TV and stuff, it's you have to get up so early. I mean, I had to be on set some days at like 5:30 a.m. And I'm just like, what the like, it's so not me. And no matter how much melatonin I take the night before, I'm just like, fuck, I can't go to sleep. Like, it's just not my schedule. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I would get up and do it. But I was just like, God, like, can we just do night shoots? Like, it would be so much more convenient, honestly. The early bird shit fucks me up. It really does.
Completely agree.
It was fun.
I think one thing I've learned is you're not supposed to take melatonin. It's not good for. It doesn't put you asleep.
Oh.
It can keep you asleep, but I think magnesium is what you're.
Oh, okay.
One of the things you're shooting for as well. It's a curse. I'm the exact same way.
Mm-hmm.
Can't shut it off.
Mm-mm.
And it's. But look. Some people never turn it on. So at least you got something to try to shut down.
I try to think about that when I'm like, you know, I'm like, God, I'm so jealous of these people that are so proactive. They don't take anything. They're just fucking living their lives. I'm like, hey, but at least I like have a sense of humor. You know, at least I have that.
Look, you have a motor. And a lot of people are what we call flatliners. It's just there's nothing there. So you have that. So that's good. Now, what we have to do, I think a motor, it's like a firearm. It's like a pistol. Like, is it good or is it bad? And the question is, who's holding it?
Mm.
Is it a gangbanger or is it a cop? Like, who's holding it?
I mean...
Like, is it a bank robber or is it security?
Right.
Like, your motor can be used for good or can be used for evil.
True.
It can turn on yourself or you can be Jimmy Kimmel and be always out there, you know, creating and producing and...
And always smiling and laughing.
Smiling and using that motor.
Fuck, my face would hurt. Like, just always like, hey, it's so good to see you. It's good to see everybody.
Yeah.
All the time.
I'm going to see him tonight. Be happy to see him.
I mean, honestly, I watch talk shows and just the fact that they just laugh at everything that people say, even when it's not funny.
Yeah.
I'm just like, God, it's painful. I couldn't do it.
No, I couldn't do it.
I couldn't be like, oh, yeah, that's great. You know, I couldn't do it.
He's genetically gracious.
Yes.
That's who he is.
Okay, that's nice.
I'm not. Yeah, you're not either.
Not at all. Thank if someone you. Says something that's not funny, I'm just going to be like, okay, cool. Anyway. It would be the worst late night host just making people feel like shit all the time. Nice try, buddy.
So the feeling, and I have a lot of thoughts about this subject.
Okay.
The subject is moving backwards.
Okay.
And the folks that never had any success in their life are like constantly pushing to try to find some success.
True.
The folks... You and I are in the same category.
Are we?
Well, you had 10 million followers. I had, you know, two shows on cable TV.
Yeah, but you're traditionally famous. I'm internet famous. That's so different. You're like a real famous person. I'm like one of those famous people that are like, oh, yeah, she had a bunch of followers. Like, no one cares.
Well, to be fair to you and I should say not fair to me. Look, I run into people all the time. They'll go like, you know, hey, what are you up to these days? You know, and I'll go, I'm doing a podcast or whatever, or writing a book. And they'll go like, oh, okay. Hey, buddy, Kimmel's killing it, man. And
dead.
There is that. There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
And you got to deal with it. I mean, that's how that's show business.
Okay, but let's be honest. If you died right now and I died, you would be on the news. I wouldn't probably be anywhere. Maybe Perez Hilton would write about it.
Wait a minute. Well, what if you killed me? I bet you'd get some coverage then. Chris, you got a kitchen knife?
Can somebody let me stab Adam so I can just get some press? I'm just kidding. But no, I'm being serious. Like, that's how you, I could feel like.
No name kills national treasure. News at 6.
Seriously. They'd be like, that internet chick, I guess. The Vine girl. Vine star. Murders Adam Carolla.
Wife of Tommy Lee.
Exactly. Not even a name. Dead. I mean, I'm honest about it. It's whatever. There's so many people famous on the internet now. It's becoming like, it's like, who cares?
Well, I mean, I'm looking here at Time declared you to be one of the most influential people on the internet. 2015, Obama, Barack Obama, Kim Kardashian, Taylor Swift, Justin Bieber. So the job is to get up every day and to sort of pedal that bike.
Ugh.
But to not obsess over who's in front of you or who's behind you. You just get up and pedal the bike.
That's the goal, not to compare.
Right.
And not to compete. You're right. In your own lane. You're not right. You're not against anyone. You're not racing anyone.
And for you, mm-hmm. you're married to a baby man child who makes money.
Yeah. He's very successful, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now I don't know what Tommy's income is, but you don't need to work, do you?
I don't need to. But
you don't need
also
to.
I got married and everything stays the same. I pay my own bills.
Mm-hmm.
I pay, car insurance, health insurance, everything for myself, my phone bill. I never once was expecting that just because I'm marrying someone who makes a lot of money that I'm going to all of a sudden get a free ride. And that's what's funny. A lot of people are like, oh, you're a gold digger. I'm like, bitch, I pay all my own shit. The only thing I don't pay is rent because it's not my house, you know? It's my husband's house, you know? It's his house. He bought it with his money. It belongs to him.
What's the majority or the lion's share of Tommy's income?
What do you mean by that?
Is it royalties? Is it touring? Is it producing? Is it playing? Like...
Okay, so Motley Crue is really, really, they were really smart. When they were with Elektra Records and they were leaving them, they demanded, Elektra was, you know, they had some disagreements in that, and Elektra was owned all their songs. And then they said, okay, we'll leave early and give you back whatever if you just give us our rights and our back to our songs, our ownership, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're one of the only bands that own their music and they mm-hmm. own their, you know, their catalog, which is worth so much money, like
right.
so much money. So he constantly, you know, whenever someone plays a Motley song or whatever on TV, he gets like thousands and thousands of dollars for that.
So he's got mailbox money.
Yes, he doesn't have to do anything, to be honest, but he is so proactive and he's still so healthy and, you know, obviously tons of fucking energy. So they're doing this tour. Did mm-hmm. you hear about it? The stadium tour?
I heard something about it. Yeah.
So they're going on tour again. With freaking, I think it's Def Leppard, mm-hmm. Joan Jett, mm-hmm. and Poison, mm-hmm. and Motley Crue. It's going to be fucking insane. It's already sold out. The thing's not till June. It's like sold out in like 40 states.
And do you go along with him on the tour?
I've never gone along, but I'm going to go along for this one. I'm going to check it out.
Have you figured out the accommodations? Like, how's it work? Do we fly in first class? Do we have a private jet? Do we have a jet that we lease out for the whole tour? Like,
They've done that. They all get these crazy buses because mm-hmm. that's the easiest way.
Right.
So, like, they'll fly to, like, wherever the show starts. I think it starts in Florida or Miami.
Right.
And I think what they do is they'll all fly there, and the bus meets them there, and then they kind of venture their way back to Los Angeles on
right.
the bus. And so you take a bus.
Right.
And, you know, you get, like, 2 or 3 days off here and there. But for the most part, it's like he said, it's like perform, you know, get on the bus, sleep, and then you wake up in the next state and
right.
or city and you mm-hmm. perform again. And it's right. like back to back to back. And they get, like, sometimes a day or two off in between. So it's pretty gnarly for, like, 3 months straight. And I'm excited. I think it's going to be fun. I'm like never gone and done this before.
Yeah, it's exciting and grueling at
it's
the
gonna
same
be,
time.
I think it's so – I was like, aren't you tired? Like playing for fucking 2 hours a night just beating on drums and then you go to sleep and then the next night you got to do it again? Like aren't you sore? Like
right.
I don't know how he does it. That's what I'm saying. He's like a machine.
They're probably going to, take turns headlining or rotating or whatever?
I think Def Leppard and them switch back and forth between who's headlining, but then it's, like, Poison and Joan Jett play,
oh, right.
I think, at, like, 40 or 50 minutes. I don't know.
Right,
I don't know how
right,
it works. But,
right.
yeah, so you know how it is. It's, like, they're all – it's these big bands all sharing a stage, which is insane. I mean, and I went to the press conference, and I mean, everyone's like, they're so ready. I mean, like, Bret Michaels still looks great. Like, Joan Jett looks great. They're all still loving performing. So it's going to be a crazy show. You should come. When
all right.
do the LA show.
Yeah, when you do the
yeah,
LA one.
Yeah.
I would love to go.
Yeah.
So you have this childhood that's, you know, less than enviable.
Right.
You come out here at 17, which is really young to
right.
be, especially a girl coming out to this place.
By yourself. And I moved to downtown LA, and this was 2005.
Yeah.
Downtown, when there was nothing. There wasn't even a grocery store.
Yeah, I don't know what year. What year is a Staples Center built? Around then?
I think
something?
The Staples Center was there, but it was like there was like nowhere to eat.
People don't realize downtown was scary, vacant, Omega Man shit. Like there wasn't anything going on.
It was like apocalypse
weird.
Now. Literally.
Yeah, it was just nothing going on and dicey and weird, and not sort of what it is. A Staples Center opened in 99, but it sort of began the process of
right.
rejuvenating downtown. But
and now it's awesome.
Right. But you were there during a scary time.
Yeah.
And
because I thought downtown L.A. was like New York City.
Right.
I thought, oh, that's where I need to be.
Right.
I had
right.
no idea.
No.
Yeah.
So you have a resilience mm-hmm. and a kind of a core toughness
mm-hmm.
and the motor mm-hmm. we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have the experience. Like,
yeah.
you have the been there, done that, highs and lows
mm-hmm.
to reflect on. So you're sort of well-equipped mm-hmm. at this point.
Yeah.
You've also done a lot of therapy and self-reflection.
Yeah. And still doing a lot of therapy.
And still doing a lot of therapy. And you're in good shape for the next step.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to think so. It's not like I don't have my days. Like, there'll be days where I wake up and I'm like, Jesus Christ, what the fuck is that? Am I dying? Like, I get like a weird pain somewhere. Do you ever have that happen?
No.
You wake up and get like a shooting pain in one part of your body and you're like, oh, this is it.
It's an interesting thing. I'm curious. Like, I think if you grow up with a mom that's not nurturing and doesn't really pay any attention to you or whatever,
yeah.
you can either go into a slightly hypochondriac mode.
Oh, for sure.
Or you can go into my mode, which is like, nah. Don't care.
You don't care.
I don't care about
not
anything.
Scared of dying.
I don't have any thoughts about my health. I don't.
At all.
No, I mean, I don't have concern for my well-being.
No fear.
I have a high threshold for pain, and I don't think about that.
Do you feel good most days? Like, you feel regular? Like, you don't feel like anything's wrong? You don't get hot flashes? You don't, you know, get fast heart rate? Nothing like that?
I'm trying to think. I do think about, well, how do you feel? And you yeah. go, well, I don't know. How's everyone else feel? Like, I don't have a yardstick to measure
right.
other people's. I don't know where the starting point is. Like, can we set a mark for how everyone feels? And then I would know if I feel good or bad.
Well, if you're not thinking about how you feel, if it's not coming to your mind, like the forefront of your mind, you're probably good. Because the thing is with me is I constantly have, like, my body has, like, physical reactions to anxiety or stress.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I'm constantly thinking about it because I'm, like, checking, doing a lot of checking in. You know what I mean? Like, oh, God, I'm, like, my heart's beating really fast. And, like, then I'll start thinking about that and that kind of thing. But if you're just living your life and you're not even worried about it, like, you're not worried about, like, oh, I'm feeling hot or my hands are numb or whatever, you're good. I think you're good.
I think there's a danger in checking your own gauges.
Oh, for sure.
Too often.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
Am I running hot? Am I running cold? Am oil pressure too high? Like, what's the RPM at? Like, if you're just staring at your dashboard of life all the time,
yeah.
waiting to overheat or
mm-hmm.
blow a gasket or something. I like cars, but the point is you have to kind of, when I race cars,
yeah.
there'll be a gauge and it'll be a water temp gauge,
uh-huh.
you know, and there'll be a little sticker on it, and it'll be like, if it starts getting above 220, it's getting into a bad zone.
Right.
Like, so you wanted it between 190 and 200 or something
right.
like that. But if it starts, and then so you do your race, and when you're on a straightaway and there's not people around you so close and whatever, mm-hmm. and everything's vibrating, making a lot of noise and stuff, but you will look down.
Right.
You can glance and check the needle and see where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just stare at it, you'll crash.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a metaphor,
for
but
life.
It's like the gauge is there and you should check the gauge, but just glance at it and then back to the task at hand, like getting around the next corner.
Well, here's the thing that sucks for me is that I have like a very severe anxiety disorder. So I'll wake up sometimes because my heart is pounding out of my chest. And then I have like an app that my doctor was like, oh, just download this app and make sure that it's not over, you know, your heart's not beating over 130 or 40 or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it is for
mm-hmm.
no reason. Like, I'll just
right.
wake up out of sleep and my heart will be literally beating like 150, you know, beats per minute, 140, like I just ran or something. And so that's the kind of thing that happens to me. It's not like I'm looking for it. It's like it'll just happen. And then I'm like stuck and I'm like, fuck, and I'm freaking out. I'm like, what do I do? And it's weird. It's like it just happens. And that's
I have an answer for you.
What is your answer? Valium.
No. I think I'm pretty sure I can cure your problem.
You can? Oh, my God. If I just come on your show and you fix me, I'd be so happy.
I do. Look, I fixed Dr. Drew when he had a panic attack.
I have them all the time. I had one on the way here.
I could fix
my hands went numb because I was tired. I didn't sleep well last night and I was driving and I started thinking, okay, I'm really tired right now and my hands, my anxiety just manifests physically. So mm-hmm. my hands literally will go numb. Like mm-hmm. I could stab them with a fork and wouldn't feel it. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, fuck, I'm fucking having an anxiety attack and I'm trying not to think about it. You know, and I do all these like things, like a deep breathing app. I have Valium for emergencies, but hate taking drugs, so I hardly ever take it. And then I do this thing where it's like mindlessness or whatever. You just say
mindfulness or whatever.
Yeah. You just say a word over and over in head
can
in
just
your head.
Picture Oprah talking. Yeah, about
just,
it.
You just say the word like blank over and over again in your head, so you can't keep thinking. But I would love to hear how you cured Dr. Drew of his panic attacks.
Well, I just yelled at him, told him we had time to get back on stage and perform, and he got up and he went, and then he was out of his head. He wasn't left alone with his panic attack.
Yeah.
He was given marching orders.
You yelled at him.
Yeah, it was sort of like if you were having a panic attack and then all of a sudden you saw like a runaway train like heading at you, your panic attack would cease. Your number one thought was, how do I get out of the way of this mountain lion or this whatever? Like if you were having a panic attack, let's just say you're in your living room and you had a panic attack and all of a sudden there was an earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't be in panic attack anymore. You'd be like, I got to find a door jam or I got the decorative plates are going to fall off the top of Tommy's cabinetry in the kitchen, you know?
Yeah.
You'd be somewhere else.
Right.
And like, I just yelled at Dr. Drew to get out of his panic attack, get the fuck back on stage. I'm talking. You sit there. Let's go. And I threw him on stage and he stopped having his panic attack. But that's not what's going to cure you.
Okay, help me. What's going to cure me?
Where are you guys living? Are you up in the hills?
Calabasas.
Still?
Yep.
You're in Calabasas.
Mm-hmm.
You got a swimming pool?
We do.
Do you keep it heated during the winter months?
No.
Okay.
Should we? We can.
No,
it's a heated pool.
No.
Are you talking about cold showers and cold plunges?
About take that plunge.
You're
it'll
like the
fix you.
Fifth person that said this to
it'll
me.
It'll fix
Is
you.
Is it true?
It's so good for you physiologically.
Really?
But it's better for you mentally.
What does it do?
It gets you, first things first. I do it every morning. I live in La Cañada.
Wow.
I got the exact same
thing.
No wonder
you don't have anxiety.
Everything. The first thing it does is it gives you something to do. Like,
mm-hmm.
I got to get up. I got to do this. Now, there's a part of it, like we talk about, we're night people.
Right.
I go to bed at 12:30, 1 o'clock, regardless of what the next day holds. And
right.
and I do a lot of up at 5:30, meet the thing with the Uber to the LAX, and then the flight that leaves. I do a lot of that. So when I go to bed at 12:30, 1 o'clock, and the alarm goes off at 5:15, I feel like shit. I mean, I feel sluggish as shit. And oftentimes, that can stay with you throughout the day, like this kind of crazy sort of malaise you're in, like weird kind of cobwebs, like you're not 100%, you know? And with what we have to do is, like, you got to get on a plane, you got to go over to this thing, you got to go to this guy's show or whatever, and you're like in this weird echo chamber of... Mm-hmm. Of there's fog in your head. You do a lap underwater in a freezing pool and you pop up the other side, you're fucking awake. You're fucking awake. You're 100%. I don't care what time you went to bed the night before and what time the alarm went off this time. You pop out, you big inhale with like the cold water coming off you and you're naked. You're fucking 100% awake.
Wow. You do that every morning?
Every single morning.
You throw yourself in the pool?
I walk in, I go down to the deep end, I go underwater. I go back and I pop up and you're 100% awake. Now, there's a physiological thing that's going on with the cold water. It's good. It's good for inflammation. It's good for everything. It's like why all the athletes sit in the cold water tub after the game, you know, professional
football players. Is it like cryotherapy kind of thing?
There's a bit of everything. But the main thing is you have broken yourself. You're in charge of you, you know, because when you have the panic attack – that's you out of control. That's the panic attack taking charge of you. Mm-hmm. You going in the pool, it's like in the documentary, and as it happens so often, young girls like yourself, you end up cutting on yourself. Mm-hmm. That's a way to sort of try to control something mm-hmm. negatively, mm-hmm. but you're trying to control it. Mm-hmm. This is a positive version of you controlling your life. And, you know, the number one answer is, it's fucking cold. I don't want to do it. Yeah, I know. That's the deal.
So cold. I hate being cold.
I hate it too. That's the deal. Mm-hmm. But it is you physiologically and psychologically just taking control of your life.
Just shocking your system.
And it just shocks you. And also, when you're walking out and steam's coming out of your mouth in the morning, you're not thinking about anything. You're just staring at the pool. Like, you're not going, oh, where's my Instagram account? Or anything. Like, you don't have any thoughts other than what you have to do.
Does it work the same if I was to turn my shower on cold and gotten a cold shower? Or no? Do you have to throw yourself in the pool?
The thing about the shower, because this is what Dr. Drew does.
Okay.
It leaves the door open for cheating a little bit.
Okay, you know like what I mean?
It's kind of like a snack well to a diet. Like, well, these are low-fat fudge brownie cookies. Like,
I fucking love snack wells.
I know you do, but it's cheating. It's cheating.
Shout out to snack wells.
It's bullshit. Well, shouldn't you get $100,000? I should get $100,000. I'd do it for 80 grand. Snack well. What I'm saying is it's great, but if you're eating fudge, you ain't on a diet.
True.
This is the part. In the shower, you get to control that.
The temperature.
And you find yourself being very good to yourself. Yeah. So you do like, I'll get some hot water going, just get my core up a little bit. No, I'll give myself a little shot and then I'll bring it back. No, no, no.
It's got to be freezing cold.
You got to go for it.
Fuck.
You got a pool.
I do.
You're in Calabasas. Oh, no. You're in the exact same region I am in terms of outdoor temp. It gets cold at night.
It gets fucking freezing. People don't realize that. They think, oh, you're in California. Like, it's so hot. You must be, like, in your tank tops, like, all the time, huh? And I'm like, no, dude. There's, like, frost sometimes, you know? People don't realize that.
Now, here's the deal.
Yeah.
There is no negative side effects. There's no...
Nothing bad.
You're not
going to
get a cold. You're not going to have a heart attack.
Get a flu.
You're not going to get anything. Mm-hmm. You'll get nothing. Mm-hmm. And if you'd like the entire journey round trip to be under 3 minutes, it's totally doable. Mm-hmm. You can never do time as an excuse.
Okay. So
the entire, from you walking out that sliding door in the back of your toasty, warm hacienda to the time you walk back in with the towel on, under Beatles song.
So you don't have to stay in there a certain amount of time. Just jump in, shock your system, get out.
I would walk in the shallow end. But with purpose. Don't ever slow down.
Okay.
Just walk it right in.
Don't stop.
Don't stop. Go to the deep end. Go underwater.
Drown myself.
Back in. Drown yourself. Tommy Lee had a kid drown in his fucking pool.
How horrible is
that?
Oh,
it's horrible.
That house was built on an Indian burial ground, that house.
Jesus Christ. That's such a sad story.
That's where all the most horrible shit happened to him at that house.
Up like, off of Mulholland or something
Malibu,
up there?
Malibu, yeah.
Yeah.
Horrible. He said, like, they told them when they bought the house that it was the burial ground, like, you know, and... You know, he said that it was just always bad vibes there. Just always. It was just really negative.
I remember that.
Yeah.
It was like a kid's party and a kid
I know,
drowned in
and
the
he
pool.
Got in trouble for it, but it was crazy because he had like a, he had hired a lifeguard who didn't do their job. He hired a lifeguard for the day and the kid's nanny was like, I'm going to go take, go check on my dog or something and left the kid. There was a kid that was specifically for that, you know, the nanny for the kid that drowned.
And the lifeguard.
And Tommy's like, I fucking hired a lifeguard, a paid lifeguard to watch everybody. And he's a fucking idiot. And it's like, it was horrible. Yeah, yeah.
Is that 15 years ago?
God, it's got to be more than that. Because, I mean,
probably
maybe.
Probably before you came to L.A.
Definitely. Yeah.
All right, so let's get back to you not drowning in the pool. I'm telling you.
You heard about Brittany Ferling drowns herself, told Adam Carolla told her to.
Unknown actress found floating
exactly.
in Tommy Lee's pool after advice from Pod King. Adam Carolla goes awry. News at 6.
Adam Carolla told her to go shock her system dead. I love it.
Now, do you want to You're never going to follow up on this.
The cold plunge?
Yeah.
I will.
I want to do a 5 day
and
in a row
see how
commitment.
I'm doing.
Yes.
And see if it's changed my life.
5 days.
Okay. Now, do you go all the way underwater, head underwater? Yes. Everything. Okay.
You got to get under.
I'm going to do it.
Five days.
I will do it. I will do it. I promise.
We're going to
You
keep
can
up.
Ask Tommy. I will do it. I'm going to get up. I'm going to walk myself into the pool, drown a little bit, and then get out.
Go under. Just go 5 days in a row.
Okay. And see how my panic attacks are.
Yes. You're a mentally tough person. You're both. All right. I will tell you're
I'm
like
mentally
a
so weak. Are you kidding me, dude? I'm
no,
so
but you
sensitive.
Got, you got a crazy work ethic and you know how to push yourself.
I do push myself.
You can push yourself.
I push myself through it.
So I would see you like a 1960s Jaguar, which is beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
Performance is great.
Thanks.
But the wiring's a little tricky.
Dead.
It could start raining and your fucking car wouldn't start. So all we got to do is fix the wiring.
Okay, cool.
And then
I'm
we
down.
Got, we got the beautiful part. We got the performance
Thanks.
Part. And then we just work that wiring harness out a little bit.
I went and had my brain shocked and that still didn't even cure it.
You are capable of pushing yourself and achieving and being tough on yourself.
I'm trying.
You do that pool 5 days in a row.
Okay.
And no cheating. Get underwater.
What if you care? Wouldn't it be crazy if you fix me?
And I will.
Like, out of all the money I've spent going to doctors that are just trying to put me on drugs.
You just give it to me.
And
I mean, save that money.
And then Adam Carolla changed my life. He told me to go get underwater in a pool.
I'll change your chemistry. I will fix this for you.
Wow.
I fixed Dr. Drew.
Does he do it every day now?
No, he's a pussy, but but if he ever has a panic attack, I'll fix him.
It's crazy to hear that Dr. Drew has panic attacks.
It's first off, you find out everyone just has their foibles, right? Like
right.
Everybody's human.
But not
everybody,
you.
Everybody's
You're like,
whatever.
I don't worry about how I feel. I don't worry about dying. I'm just me. I just live my life.
I have concerns and I have thoughts, but I don't bury myself in them.
You seem normal.
I feel like it's too self-indulgent.
Yeah.
Like it's counterproductive. Does it make you happy or does it make you money? Try
but
to think about that.
Sometimes you can't
help it. No, I know.
You know? Do you, though? It's like I wish I could just, you know, be like, who fucking cares? And I tell myself that to try to, like, trick myself. Like,
sure.
You don't care.
Right.
And then that little voice in your brain's like, no, but you do care. Like, you know, you do. You really care.
You know how you can drown out that little voice? Icy cold water coming in your ears, drowning out that little voice. You're going to shock that little voice.
I can't.
You're going to drown that
voice. I love it.
5 days in a row.
I can't wait. I'm going to do it.
I know you are.
If it works, I'm going to be so happy.
It's going to work.
Like, it's going to change my life.
It's going to work.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll let you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
5 days in a row. Honor system.
I swear, Scout's honor.
And Tommy better thank me, too.
He should. I mean, it's so funny because I'll have, like, a panic attack out of nowhere. And mine are so crazy. Like, my whole body starts shaking. And
where
like,
are you physically when you have these attacks?
Anywhere.
Throw yourself in the pool if you're at home.
Yeah, I could.
My husband doesn't think I'm mental enough. You'll be done with throwing yourself in the pool. Your panic attack will cease the second you hit that frosty water.
I read to stick your head in the freezer.
Really?
Yeah, they were like, go stick your head in the freezer. I'm
That's
like, Jesus
Tom-
Christ.
Wait, Tommy said he read that, right?
Tommy's just like, what's wrong? Like, what's wrong with you? Tommy's so normal. He's like, why are you shaking? What's wrong? Like, he doesn't get it at all. He has no anxiety. He has no stress. Like, he's just like, I like drums. Like, he's just so regular.
He was born to drum. I tell people this. I use it. You can tell Tommy. I say this all the time. It's funny because Franklin, our next guest, is standing in the wings there.
Wow.
I met at the Alan Parsons show as the drummer for Lenny Kravitz.
Oh, so, cool.
Good drum talk. But yeah. I was saying, whenever somebody says, why do you like building? Or like, why do you like comedy? Or what do you do comedy? Where'd that come from? Is your dad a builder? Is your dad a comedian? Or you're in so much pain? Or you wanted acceptance? Or had to win over the bullies at your school using comedy or whatever? And I go, Tommy Lee, when I asked him where this drumming come from, he said, when I was five, I banged on pots and pans. And I said, okay, that's what you do because you're a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked comedy. Mm-hmm. I was banging on pots and pans, but I was doing it with jokes. And I was doing it with building. It wasn't anything that doesn't, oh, I was in so much pain or I was trying to win over whatever.
Yeah.
It was just about, that was what was in me. But I always use Tommy as an example. Like, what's different about comedy than him banging on pots and pans when he was six?
True.
Which he's probably told you about?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He's all had a great life. He really has.
Well, now it's better with you in it, by the way. Worse first with Brittany Furlan.
It's my podcast. And if you want to hear more neurotic talk.
I'd like to, I should be doing your podcast.
I want you
soon,
to
right?
come do my podcast. Yeah. You talk, people come on there and talk about the worst. Bill Burr just did it.
I'd love to
Bert
do it.
Bert Kreischer did it. You talk about the worst shit that's happened to you. And it's, you know, sometimes it's sad, sometimes it's funny. It's whatever.
Spy Intervention's the name of the movie.
Yes, that I just did. It comes out tomorrow or Valentine's Day. It's out in select theaters, and then in about a week from that, it'll be on iTunes and DVD if you guys still use those.
Video on demand.
Video
as
on
well.
Demand. Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna follow up. We're gonna do this
five day
plunge.
Yes, the Adam Carolla health advice.
First things first. You're tough as shit mentally. I saw that video. I know you got it in you.
Okay.
And number two, it's 3 minutes door to door.
Doing it.
You want to do it? Jump in.
I'm going to do
out.
It.
Get out.
I'm going to do it.
Underwater. All right.
I'm
going to follow up.
I'll send you my pneumonia bill.
We'll take a break. We'll do the news right after this.
Just $25. You get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat. Cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut.
It's time for a new month of Adam's Monthly Nut. ACS and car lovers alike, get ready because February's shipment includes a Blu-ray of Adam's newest doc, Shelby American, with special features you can't get anywhere else, and a signature from the Ace Man you can't get anywhere else. A Chemical Guy's Clean Car Essentials Kit. Featuring butter wax, streak-free window cleaner, two odor eliminators, and more. And lastly, in your shipment, you may find a golden ticket for you and a plus one to join us at the Corolla Family Barbecue. The $60 value is yours for only $25. Sign up for 1 month, nor keep the shipments coming. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut. Hurry, we will sell out. The Corolla Drinks Wine Club has arrived. We're bringing you all the bottles you can drink and more perks than you know what to do with. For those who just want to dip their toes into the wine club, our 3 and 6 pack clubs will get you 3 shipments a year, 10% off all wine orders, and a DVD of the long-awaited Uppity, plus more and more goodies throughout the year. For those who want to dive in head first, our Case Club will get you 3 shipments a year, 10% off all wine orders, a DVD of Uppity, and 2 tickets to the Corolla Family Barbecue, featuring the entire ACS family, a lineup of comedians, all the food and booze you can consume, a photo with Adam, Bald, and Gina in the ACS studio, and a private concert from The Offspring. But wait, there's more. For renewing Case Club members only, you'll get a private tequila and cigar tasting with the unholy trinity of Adam, Drew, and Garrigus before the barbecue even begins. For those who want to attend the party of the year without having delicious booze sent to your door 3 times a year, tickets are available for sale at CorollaDrinks.com. So prep your livers. The Corolla Drinks Wine Club is back.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Break. Viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, first, I can't tell you how happy it makes me to see you both eating that during the theme song. That makes my day. So we talked about Andrew Yang. He has dropped out of the presidential race soon after the polls closed, actually, in New Hampshire Tuesday night. He told his audience in a Manchester ballroom that the campaign couldn't find a way to move forward, but his crowd already chanting 2024. Yang's message of universal basic income with his freedom dividend and the value-added tax, along with his net zero emissions initiative, seemed to appeal to supporters online across the country. Yang says he's definitely not ruling out a 2024 presidential run. And as to who he's going to endorse in 2020, Yang had this to say.
Well, right now we're still obviously like reflecting on our own campaign.
Taking the best offers.
I'm already on the record saying I will support whoever the Democratic nominee is. And this process is very important for voters to make their voices heard and see what the direction of the party is. So no endorsements right now, though other candidates have been reaching out to me over the last number of hours, which I appreciate a great deal.
Open for business.
Yeah, basically. And I mean, again, saying I will support whoever is picked.
Yeah, he kind of won me over when at some point early on, he just went, look, it's not really about calling Trump a Russian spy or beating Trump up. We need policies. We got to win on policies. I'm not interested in that. He kind of did what Bernie did with the emails and Hillary. By the way, they're authentic people. They both just went like, look, I'm not here to tell you what's wrong with why the other person is worse than me. I'm here to tell you why I'm better than the other person.
Right.
It's a weird way to run a relationship or an ex-wife or a current wife or anything. You know, it
just shows character.
Make the case for you with your policies. I liked that immediately. I liked it when Bernie said, you know, forget about Hillary's emails.
Yeah.
We're here to move forward.
That's right. Rose McGowan was, quote, disgusted by Natalie Portman's Oscar dress, which was adorned with the names of female directors who were snubbed this year.
Rose McGowan is on my short list of chicks that we're going to get a lot of entertainment from, because when super smoking hot chicks get old, they go nuts.
All right. Well,
they go nuts. She's her and Pam Anderson. They're going to go. They're already there. They're getting there.
Yeah,
she joined forces.
Rose has been helped along with some bad publicity, but yeah. So you think, why would Rose McGowan hate on this? You know, all the names of the women are embroidered on this cape.
All the nominated women on the cape.
The female directors who were snubbed. Embroidered on the cape. Why would Rose hate this? Well, in a scathing Facebook post, McGowan called Portman's, quote, type of activism deeply offensive to those of us who actually do the work. The former Charm star accused
calling
Portman. Yeah,
they're
throwing
having
down
a circle
gauntlet.
Woke.
Not doing enough.
Circle woke. It's a woke off, everybody. Let's see who has to eat the cookie.
It's a woke off.
So she says, lip service.
Woke off, home run.
Lip service is the problem. Fake support of other women is the problem. She encouraged the Oscar winner, quote, and other actresses to walk the walk. McGowan wasn't alone, by the way, in calling Portman a hypocrite. Many people on social media pointed out that the star has only used one female director over her 8 projects made by her company. Ooh. Guess who that female director was?
I say,
it's almost a trick question.
Caitlyn Jenner.
It's herself.
It's herself.
Yeah.
Oh.
That was the only female director she's used in her production company. So Rose is trying to make a point.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know.
Though.
What year is it again?
2020.
What's going on? All right. Let's get that hat. Let's have a march. Okay.
But remember, the good news is none of this is going to matter because we'll all be dead in 10 years.
Yes. Yeah.
We're
or 11
fine.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's coming. So says AOC.
That's right. Macaulay Culkin defends Michael Jackson in a new interview with Esquire. This is just going to keep coming around every few years. The Home Alone star tells the magazine that the singer, quote, never did anything to me. I never saw him do anything. And especially at this point in time, I'd have no reason to hold anything back. He's passed on. Sexual abuse allegations against Jackson resurfaced.
It's not a strong defense.
Well,
he never did anything to me.
Hold on. But you're right. I mean, but he wants to make it clear that it never happened to him. Of course, this all resurfaced after leaving Neverland. Culkin, who is the godfather to Jackson's daughter, says he would have seen something by now or said something by now if he'd been abused. He said, if anything, I'm not going to say it would be stylish or anything like that, but right now would be a good time to speak up. And if I had something to speak up about, I would totally do it. But
well,
I never saw anything.
Okay, so Michael probably had the no names, up and coming,
right?
Cardboard refrigerator box sidewalk dancer guys who he knew,
right.
You know, busted family. He knew he could work that one out.
Prime targets,
not the brand new star of the Home Alone.
Not
franchise.
The biggest star in the world in 1991.
No, that's not. That's a well guarded target. You know what I mean? That'll get you a lot of buzz. That's potentially dangerous. So. He probably had this thing where he liked just hanging around with the young it guy, but then if it got physical, he'd go with the young no-name
right.
guy. So, and also, I don't know how old Macaulay is, but when you're 11, you don't really know shit that's going on, per se.
No, and
you're not walking around Jacko's comfort over the woods light going, what's going on here?
Anybody
what's
in
all
there?
This about then?
Yeah.
And to your point, another pal of Michael's, Corey Feldman, also said Michael never touched him. Now, Corey Feldman has been famous since he was born.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very similar issue there.
Right.
Have you heard about this dude, Lawrence Ray? He is all over the news right now. Ex-con financier Lawrence Ray has been charged with allegedly running a sex cult and money laundering ring out of his daughter's dorm room, essentially.
No.
This story is insane. So according to prosecutors in New York, Ray moved into his daughter. It says dorm room, but I've read other articles that they were, you know, in a shared apartment, co-ed apartment, at Sarah Lawrence.
It's like, what do they call the dorm monitor, the resident?
The RA
comes in. It's like, I told you no toaster ovens, no hot plates, and no sex cults.
Yeah.
Okay,
run by your father.
So go ahead and unplug all three of those things.
Yeah, student housing could be like suites.
Right.
It could be like apartments.
I think it was more like that. So this was in Sarah Lawrence in Yonkers, New York in 2010. He began acting as a mentor, lecturing the group and boys and girls on his personal philosophy, conducting therapy sessions during which he learned intimate
details. Can I say something to my black brothers who are always talking about getting profiled and stop and frisk?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a white version of this. I mean, you see this guy and you go, oh, yeah.
Yeah, keep him away from
the
kids.
Throw away the key. You know he's up to something. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is a white dude who's bald, but you're going, oh, yeah.
He did it.
Oh, yeah.
And
more,
probably.
I don't
That's
need to
right.
hear anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So he allegedly used this psychological torture and violence, physical violence, to keep these victims under his thumb, forced them to do his bidding. Prosecutors say he made at least $500,000 in sex trafficking money. He made another $500,000 by scamming the victims into draining their parents' bank accounts. Jesus. And I heard a little more on this. He would basically, it sounds similar to things we've heard about Scientology, like someone has to sit in the hot seat and tell all their secrets, and if they don't have any, you make them up, and that's how you gain trust with the group. But then he uses it against you, and you know we've heard this from Leah Remini's show and all these things. And then he starts charging kids, and he says, "You touched my duct tape, you ate my cereal, you broke the radiator," and so he gives them an itemized list. One of the lists ended up being $47,000, and the kid went to his parents and said, "I need this money. I got to pay back Mr. Ray." They said, "Are you kidding? Go fuck yourself." So the kid threatened to kill himself. The parents paid. And so he was not only turning some of the kids out, but extorting them directly through their parents.
Well, this guy's a deplorable character, no doubt. But you but don't fuck with a guy's duct tape.
I was going to leave the duct tape out. Because
I don't know. Maybe that's me,
happen.
But he's a bad guy.
Right.
And deserves to be prosecuted.
Yeah,
but that
rules
aside,
rules. I understand.
Duct tape is kind of a personal item. And
don't get him wrong. He's a bad dude.
If you're going to use some of it, then you need to
put it back.
Right.
Don't use very much.
If Max Pata ripped off a foot of duct tape, his neighbor would come up. Like, what's all the noise about?
Masturbating?
We got a hostage situation here? Sorry.
This dude, this happened last year, but he just got charged. He got charged in New Jersey. So this trial's going to go on for a while.
I like to yell, what year is it? How does this stuff continue?
Yeah.
I'm so confused.
Well, that's the thing. You take a young, impressionable group of college kids, and the dad comes in, and he's like the mentor. And then is it a slippery slope? I don't think I would have fallen for it, but who knows?
I'm also curious.
I was impressionable.
There's so many. There's an unending supply of Johns, right? Just
sure.
Middle aged dudes are like, I'll give you some money.
Yeah,
blow job. Who are all these guys?
Yeah, that's a good question. Oh, the other thing I heard that he did to one of the gay roommates, who he really didn't want to be gay, he made him have sex with one of the other girls, and he'd watch. Sometimes he'd join in. He'd bring the landlord in to join in on the fun. And then when the kid came back and said, I still think I'm gay, he made him put on one of the girls' dresses, walk to the mailbox, come back, and then use a bunch of sex toys on himself while the kids laughed because he made, it was a very Handmaid's Tale. Like, ooh, come on, keep laughing at him. Like, very, very, very disturbing. This is only going to get worse when the trial comes.
That's kind of remind me of my downstairs neighbor, Al.
Oh, my God.
We had the crazy perv moved out, like the unit, whatever. He just came up the box of dildos mm-hmm. and butt plugs and Spank magazine, like inflatable dolls and stuff. Right. Just whole box. And he's like, hey, sounds like you guys could use a helping hand. So here's a box of butt plugs and giant novelty dildos and vibrators and stuff that's been clearly up people's assholes. You know, I was like, here you go. Drop it off. Drops it off. And then he's like, I hear a lot of action going on up here at night. I was like, yeah, that's not me. That's my buddy, Chris. And he's like, yeah, well, next time when those youngins come by, you send one down.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, okay, we'll see how that works. Hey, Stacy. Yeah. It's a middle-aged guy. You'll recognize him because he's got these thick horn-rimmed glasses. He's wearing a windbreaker that says Santa Anita on it. He's got a lot of pomade. Yeah. So what I'd like you to do is go down there and suck his dick.
Yeah.
Okay?
Do us a favor.
What are you, 18, 19? Yeah, go down there and blow Al. Yeah, he's got his dog Skipper with him, but he's not going to bother you. Yeah, go down. Yeah, he has some really attractive characteristics. He likes to keep the roll-up hose bib thing, the thing that's made out of PVC. Uh-huh. He keeps it in his kitchen for safekeeping.
Why is that safekeeping?
Or you leave it outside, it could get stolen.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I guess that's smart.
Yeah. Big ticket item.
Mm-hmm.
So does he, like, do you owe him money or something, or why am I doing this?
Just kind of on the honor system. You know, he came up. Said, why don't we send one of the gals down? And I nodded. He saw me.
You thought I'd be willing?
He's wearing he has two Santa Anita windbreakers. There's a red one and blue one.
Oh, does he own Santa Anita Racetrack?
He looks like he was in the Lords of Flatbush, like, but without a speaking role. And he's got a Ham's beer koozie that's pretty worn out, so you'll know it. He's had it for a while. I think these things are meant to be turned over, but he's... So he's down there, yeah.
So if I see the hose and the koozie, that I know I got the right
guy. That's Al's apartment. Okay. And Skipper.
Who's Skipper? I'm sorry.
That's dog.
Oh.
Small dog.
The dog will be in there with us?
He goes everywhere with Skipper. I guess he does everything with Skipper.
And again, will I be like compensated or?
A little something called satisfaction.
Job well done?
Yeah, I wouldn't call him elderly, but I wouldn't call him young.
Okay. So yeah. This is like a Meals on Wheels thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, you might, if he's outside, he'll just be doing that move where he waters the lawn with the hose and his thumb over it.
Oh, to really get the extra
ground. Yeah, sprays it out that way.
Okay.
He's good at that.
Okay.
Yeah, talk to Al.
I'm back in 15.
There you go. It's the guy who lived under us. Jesus Christ. Fucking Al. He used to lift his windbreaker up and he had a pistol stuffed into his fucking pant line. It's crazy shit. Who are these people?
I'm sure he's long dead. He probably died in that apartment.
Probably. Sorry.
His ghost.
Where were we?
If you're having a hard time finding a job, you may want to cut back on your social media posts for a while. Employers are looking at your social media presence, and according to a study from Penn State, if you come across as self-absorbed or if you do a post a lot, especially about controversial stuff, you are definitely less likely to be hired. Another bad idea, of course, posting about all the drinking and drugs you're doing. Penn State professor Michael Tews says, quote, in 2018, 70% of employers reported looking at social media sites to help them evaluate the potential employee, and 60% have eliminated candidates on the basis of negative content. It's important for job candidates to be aware of how they portray themselves on social media.
Well, I mean, think about it. Like, you go up and look at the guy, and he's got a bunch of pictures after they completed the Tough Mudder obstacle course or something.
Or volunteering at the soup kitchen.
Yeah, whatever. You see a bunch of that, and you go, okay, that's one person. And then you see the other person that's doing the keg stand, and you go, that guy might miss a few days, hungover a couple days.
Yep.
Interesting. Look, how much do you really need to see of a person these days? You know, it's a thing where it's you come over for the first date and you want to use the bathroom and you go in there and as you're shutting the door, you see the mirror and you see the guy kick the dog.
Right.
You know what I mean? You go, is that, that's who he is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're not interested.
Date's over.
Like one little gesture, one little thing. You don't need that much.
Right. Now, if Olga does it, I'm in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I saw Paulette Garagos from seven blocks away just walking down the street and she didn't know I saw her and she just stopped, picked up a piece of garbage from the ground, held it in her hand and just kept walking. And I was like, oh, that's a good woman.
Yeah.
That's a good woman. She's picking up garbage. And there's no trash can.
And that's all you need to know.
That's all you need to know about her. Yeah. I know she's not up to something horrible and I know that's a good civically minded whatever.
Yep.
And then there's the bitch who's putting the notes on on Max Pata's car. That's all I need to know about her. I don't need to know that much.
Yeah.
I'll go online. Let's see what I need to know. Speaking of cars, Geico. Do you rent your home? Do you own your home? Either way, you got to have insurance. How about you bundle those policies at Geico? That is geico.com. It's a good thing because you'll find out just how much money you can save at geico.com. Easy, quick, and simple. Go to geico.com today and bundle that homeowners or the renter's insurance with your auto insurance and save a bunch of money. At Geico.com. All right, what else we got, Gina Grant?
The price of one kind of a premium Disney theme park's day pass has shot above the $200 mark for the first time. The so-called one-day park hopper, where you can go back and forth between Disneyland and California Adventure, now costs $209 on peak days, usually weekends up from $199, so another $10. But that's not it. They have now have a five-tier pricing plan that apparently depends on the time of year, the day of week. So just to put it in even more perspective, since 2000, the price of admission to Disneyland has jumped from $43 to $154 for a new single-day ticket price at the park's busiest day.
It just charged $500 because it's heroin. They got you by the short hairs.
Oh, yeah.
Your kids are going, they want to go. What are you going to do?
Well,
there's nothing you can do.
And that's the crazy thing, because we've said in the past, like, well, it'll thin the herd. You can't afford that. People are coming now more than ever.
This notion of, like, you know what we're going to do to get people to get out of the cars? We're going to make gas more expensive. It's like, no,
doesn't work.
People still are getting in their cars. We'll give them a quit smoking. We'll raise the price of cigarettes. Like, they just buy some cigarettes. Like,
forego something else.
That's who we are.
Yeah.
That's how we roll. If you have kids and those kids are dying to go to Disneyland and it's $189 versus $129, there's nothing.
Right.
Then the parents going to do about it. Just save up and to go.
Yeah.
You're going to get it on the calendar.
Right.
You're going to tell the kids something.
Maybe buy less food in the park.
I was going to say, the good news is once you enter the gates, everything is free.
Yeah.
Oh, wait,
It's all inclusive.
No,
yeah. Yeah. I got this stupid guide.
I can't believe that.
Like $600 an hour with a minimum of 5 hours or something. It's insane. It's insane. And remember I was talking yesterday that, like, no one can really answer questions anymore. We were talking about going to Potluck and Comedy Store and how's it work. I just never got anything. The first thing out of my mouth when they said, you're going to get one of these guides and she's going to lead you around. All I said was, I'm going to feel really uncomfortable just walking past everyone, going to the front of the line,
cutting,
going to that family, been waiting an hour and a half to get on the Matterhorn and go, slow your roll.
Yep.
I'm a rich guy here. You remember me from the man show. And we're just going to step right in front of you.
Yep.
I said, I don't want to do that. I don't like the way that looks. I don't like the way it feels. And they just went, no, we have a separate door that we go, you know what?
No, they thought about that.
We got a separate door.
I go,
okay. And then we just go to the Matterhorn. We just walk past everyone and go to the front. And I go, we're just walking past everyone. We go to the front. Yeah, that's how it works.
That was a separate door.
Okay. I feel like I broach you. Subject.
Yeah.
I don't.
It's not
great. Specific scenario came up.
You better have a cast on.
Yeah. Anyway.
Give me a crutch.
I'm telling you, if you guys ever do that, at some point.
Who are you talking to?
Yeah.
I know. If anyone. No, within the sound of my voice. Someone successful. When they break for lunch. That is the worst 20 minutes of your fucking life. Like, when they're just standing there and they're getting paid like Mark Geragos.
Billable hours.
Trying to bail Chris Brown out. Like, fucking billable hours. And they're on the clock. And then the wife is buying shit for the chick who's charging me $600. And I'm like, you want a water and a corn dog? Yeah, I'll have a water. And then, no, you go get your own. Go get your own. And then I keep yelling, everyone up. Here we go. We're going to eat the corn dogs on the way to Space Mountain. And they're like, hold on.
Time is money.
We want to relax. Let them relax. We went on our feet. I'm like, here we go. I was running that thing. I'm trying to think of, there's a...
Is this a five-hour minimum? Is that consecutive hours? Take a break.
You punch out for lunch?
I ran that thing like fucking Paul Bear Bryant ran his training camp in Alabama. I was like, everybody up.
The Junction Boys.
What's hot? Keep marching, move. Fourth quarter. Here we go. Hey, you go half speed. You get hurt. We want a Pepsi. You'll cramp up.
Yeah. And
keep going.
Fourth quarter effort.
Let's go. Jingle jangles. Last guy to Space Mountain's out. You're running bag laps. Like, I fucking, I was on my feet, like, yeah, I was like Arlie Army, like at Disneyland. Of course, my experience was ruined because I'm like, we're not sitting down and eating. We're on the fucking clock. Let's go.
Go half speed. You get hurt. You
got the rest of your life to eat.
Your last easy day was yesterday.
I wonder what she makes because she ain't making that money. That's not going in her pocket.
It's weird that she would have to buy her own food. Isn't she an employee of the park?
Yeah, she probably gets a discount.
This is just Lynette going to the window, going like, hey, Cheryl Ann, you want a water? Yeah, I'll have a water.
Thank you.
Oh, you have a $9 water? Awesome. I'll tack that on your bill. Like she was just like, sort of, Lynette was being nice. She was like, why not? Yeah, sure.
$609 an hour.
Not like she had a rucksack or anything. and then the worst, then you get to the end, it's like, well, we got a tipper. And I'm like, okay, hold on a second. I feel the same way about the masseuse. Like, look, you have a GED and you're making $128 an hour. Work it out with your employer. You're 19 years old. You make $600. You're going to pay like a high-priced attorney. Let fucking Walt Disney tip you. Let them settle you out. And then they get that thing where it's like, yeah, they only make like $13 an hour. Like,
that's not on me.
That's not on me. I'm paying them $600. Like, what's...
Does she go on the rides with you?
No.
That would be a bridge too far. She doesn't get to have fun with you.
I don't think so.
You sit here and wait.
Yeah, there's the famous picture of all us going down Bear Mountain and Sunny looking. Everyone was on brand, except for, Sunny was scared shitless. I don't think she was in the...
I don't think so. Would your kids ever go to Disneyland just with their friends without a guide, you think? They'd be over it.
I don't know. I do remember we'd get to the end of we'd go right to the front of Space Mountain or right to the front of the Matterhorn, and I'd go, all right, here we go, in the car, in the toboggan. And Sonny would spaz up and go, no, I'm scared, I don't want to go. And I go, in the toboggan, here we go. And then Lynette would go, he doesn't have to go if he doesn't want to go. And all of a sudden we're having this thing where I was going, don't say anything, just in the toboggan,
head down.
And now we pay to get to the front of the line, and now we're arguing in the front of the line, and they're going, and
get a
he's like
family.
Starting to cry, and she's going like, he doesn't have to go. He doesn't want to go. And I'm like, don't do that. Get in the car. Yeah. It was awesome for me.
That sounds fun.
Great.
Look at little Sonny.
It was awesome. His eyes are closed, and he's covering his ears, and Natalia's laughing her ass off.
That's not the guy next to Natalia, is it?
No. I don't know. And Lynette's leaning over trying to help Sonny with her ear, and I'm just marveling at the whole mess. That's it. That's the entire world. That's my entire world.
It's funny that you're the rich guy who paid for this because you do look like a child predator that lives in a trailer park.
I had a beard and a beanie.
I was going with Hobo.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He could be a predator.
Let's bring it home, Hobo.
I'm Gina Gratt.
Wait, who's your Bo, Ho? Sorry.
The news.
Enter from the backside.
Gina Gratt. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, Simply Safe. You don't want to feel unsafe at home, period. That's why we have Simply Safe. SimplySafe.com/Adam. Be smart and do that. TJ Miller coming in tomorrow. That guy's always interesting. And Cleveland, Hilarities, February 27th. Indianapolis, Helium, 28th, 29th. Go to AdamCarolla.com for everything. Go check out Uppity on Netflix, and you can go to Chassis and get it there and get all the movies there. And check out my book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, available for pre-order on Amazon. Click on through and sign up for the Corolla newsletter, CorollaNewsletter.com. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Brittany Ferland Lee and Gina Grad and Paul Bryan saying mahalo.
I'm the local pervert.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Carolla Classics, hosted by the local pervert and superfan Giovanni. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, man, your events, books, movies, and more. Go to AdamCarolla.com.